Good morning. It's another Tuesday and time for another podcast while Blizzard does its maintenance on the servers. We appreciate you joining us at the podcast this morning. This is the Angels Podcast. The Angels Guild is a World of Warcraft guild, of course, and we appreciate your coming. First of all, let me begin with the news this morning, and then after we do the news, I want to kind of talk about leveling and talk about a leveling guide. I level do a pretty good job leveling. I have a lot of experience in these games, even though I'm relatively new to World of Warcraft. And one guy accused me last week of using bots, and you know, I told him I don't do that. I'm retired, and so I have a little extra time, and that's one reason I level fast. But another reason is that I've just played these games a lot, and before I started playing World of Warcraft, I did a little bit of research about where to level and how to level in World of Warcraft, and I want to share some of that with you today, and specifically talk about or give you a little leveling guide about some of the places you can level, some of the things you can do at different levels. And so let's begin first of all with the news. I think the first news, the guild continues to grow. We're over 400 separate tunes, and well over 370, I think. I remember the last count of separate accounts. And with 370 separate accounts, we just have a tremendous pool of players to draw from, and we really want the guild to continue to grow at this point. We realize that at some point in the future there'll be people who will drop out on their own. There'll be other people who will weed out because they maybe are inactive or something of that nature. But we're starting with a large number. We're hoping to get to the end game to where we can raid on a consistent basis, but you know, any one individual doesn't have to be on every night in order for the raids to take place. And with the kind of numbers that we have so far, that's looking entirely possible. And I think the medium level of the guild is the high 20s, low 30s, and somewhere in that neighborhood. And we're just slowly, steadily progressing up. I don't know if memory, I think the highest level person I've seen, I don't think we have anyone in the 50s yet. We may have one or two, but I don't think so. But we are continuing to progress upward. Another thing is that, and I can't remember off the top of my head what the server is, you can ask somebody, but we have started a parallel guild for the Horde side and on a different server. And you can ask Crystal or Steel Blade or some of the others exactly which server that is. It skips my mind at the moment. And you have to excuse me today. I got a little frog in my throat or something, and that's why I keep clearing my throat, and I apologize for that. For those of you who are interested in playing Horde, we're going to create a sister guild called the Dark Angels, and on a different server, and play the Horde. And you know, I personally probably until the Blood Elves come out, and probably not very much interested in that, but we'll see whether I'll do it or not. But I'm just I don't know, old and set in my ways. I'm kind of challenged here to stay with the boy, I'm having trouble with that throat today. To stay with the Alliance side. I think everybody knows this past week we just had one server problem after another. They finally did reset the server, and you know, I'm not really sure what the source of the issue was, but the lag got so bad that, you know, instant spells would take 3, 4, 5 seconds to cast, and things of that nature. But I think finally sometime Sunday they did reset the server, and made a world of difference in our play on Sunday and Monday. Blizzard continues on their forum to acknowledge that they do have a problem, and they're not sure what it is, and they say their engineering department is working on it. But it seems clear to me that if it's the kind of thing that a reset will fix, it's probably a memory leak or something of that nature somewhere. And so maybe they'll find that soon, and in the meantime, stay on top of these resets and keep our server in tip-top shape. Because it was very discouraging Friday and Saturday trying to play, and very frustrating with that server lag that was going on. We're not talking here about latency. I think almost everybody had a green bar on the latency. We're talking about server lag here, some kind of server lag. But anyway, that's the guild news. I want to turn now and talk about Blizzard news. Blizzard announced this week the creation of a customer service forum. And this forum is different or unique. It's not technical service. They already have a forum for that. And it's not customer service in the sense of you know, handling problems with your account, you know, like your credit card or things of that nature. This is a forum for the GMs, for the Game Master department staff. And they talk in that forum about common problems that GM faces, and they provide solutions to those common problems. They also give a weekly, going to give a weekly update on the most recent issues and what they're doing to work on them, and that sort of thing. And so that's something new that if you visit the forums at all, that maybe you can spend some time looking at. They list four things on their forum that is the most common type of issues. Well, actually three things. One of them, they say the most common resolution to an issue is to delete what they call the big three folders. You know, they say they're just a surprising amount of problems that can be fixed by, you know, going out of the game, deleting your WTF, WDB, and interface folders. As an alternative to deleting those folders, you can rename them, but they say that solves a lot of problems. Well, you know, that's kind of frustrating to us as players, because when you delete or change those folders, number one, you lose all your macros. Number two, you lose all of your mods, and you have to reinstall them or something of that nature. And of course, they're saying that the mods most often are the cause of the problems. And so, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I know I tried this week to install Cosmos, and for some reason my macros wouldn't work after I installed Cosmos. So I know that I had some problems with some of the mods and stuff this past week myself. But in any event, they say that this is the common, one of the most common things they have people do. It resets the interface and resets a lot of variables, and they use it to solve a lot of problems, like if you have recipes or schematics that are missing, or if you receive errors when you're attempting to access in-game email, or if your character is appearing with no texture and it's white when you log on, or if character items and abilities displays question marks. Those are some of the things that will lead them to tell you, delete the WTF, WDB, and interface folders. And of course, when you delete those, when you restart the game recreates those and, you know, puts the information in it. So it's kind of a frustrating thing. It would be better if they could, you know, find out what the specific problems are and fix just that, instead of us having to do away with all of our macros and all of our interface add-ons. But that is, they say, one of the most common things that they have people to do. Another thing that they talk about they say one of the most common things that happen is people will report that they're unable to complete their quest. And the most common thing they say the reason for that is that they are in a raid and don't know it. And, you know, somehow this happened to me last week. I didn't actually report it to them. I discovered it on my own. But I grouped with a mage in Stranglethorn Vale, and my priest did. And we started doing a quest, and I noticed that, you know, the ticker wasn't advancing as we did kills. And with a little bit of investigation, I discovered that somehow or another we had been switched into a raid group. And, you know, I was the group leader. I was the one who did the inviting. And, you know, I didn't make it a raid group myself. So I don't know how we got into that raid group mode. But this, they say on this new customer service forum, is one of the most common things. People will complain that they're unable to complete a quest, or they're unable to interact with quest items or quest non-player characters. They're not receiving credit for quest-related kills, or they're unable to find loot or quest-related drops. The first thing to check before you talk to a GM, they're saying, is make sure you're not in a raid. And of course, the rule of thumb in the game is if you're in a raid group, you cannot complete any quest while in the raid group. You know, it's great to form a raid group and go into an instance and you know, for loot and picking up things, but you can't complete quest when you're in a raid group. You can only be in a standard five-man group while you're doing questing. And that's one of the most common things that they say goes on. And the last common item that they talk about are what they call known issues, are things that are working as intended. In other words, somebody will complain about something and they will either tell them, look, we know about this issue, we're working on it, or they will say, what you're complaining about is working as the game was designed or as we intended. And so that new customer service forum ought to prove handy. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy visiting the forums on a regular basis and reading what's there, and that'll give me another forum to kind of browse and keep up with what's going on in game. Once again, this week two new realms were opened, Demon Soul and Jednar. Both player versus player realms were open this week, and these are North American realms, and so that's a bit of news that we can keep up with, two brand new realms. They also announced two new upcoming changes to the patch 1.11, which of course is active now on the test realm and should be installed soon. First of all, they say by popular demand, they'll be removing the release timer in instances, and that includes dungeons, battlegrounds, and raid instances. So they're going to take the release timers off of the instances. And second of all, they are calling this an anti-exploit measure, that on certain encounters, almost entirely raid bosses, they say, and so this would apply to like Molten Core and Blackwing Lair and places like that. On certain encounters, they are going to prevent people from zoning into the instance while the encounter is engaged. So, for example, if you're in Molten Core and you are engaging a boss in Molten Core, no one can zone into the instance while the boss, while the encounter with the boss is going on. If you attempt to zone into the instance while the encounter is engaged, you'll be resurrected at the entrance outside of the instance. And now this is only happens when you're engaging the boss. So let's say that you enter Molten Core and you know, you're doing the things up front there before you get to the bosses. You know, people can zone in and out freely just like we always have. But once you engage one of the bosses, like Magmadar, that's how I was introduced to the game. A friend of mine was playing. I saw Magmadar and saw them take him down. So, but once you engage one of the bosses, then anyone who attempts to zone into the zone would be resurrected outside at the entrance of the zone. And so when patch 1.11 goes into effect, that will go into effect at the same time. And let's see, excuse me, they also made some announcements this past week about the racial abilities of the Blood Elves and the new Alliance race, and I have no idea how to pronounce that. D-R-A-E-N-E-I. Draeni. Draeni. That's the way I'm going to pronounce it. If it's wrong, forgive me. That's just the way I'm going to pronounce it. Draeni. Anyway, the racial abilities for the Blood Elves, they're going to have an arcane affinity, which is a racial passive. Their enchanting skill is going to be increased by 15. Their magic resistance is going, and in fact all their resistances are going to be increased by 5. They're going to have a mana tap spell that drains mana at level 1. It will drain 50 mana from their target and charges them with arcane energy for 10 minutes. And this effect stacks up to 3 times. And then they're going to have a skill called Arcane Torrent, which has a 2-minute cooldown that silences all enemies within 8 yards for 2 seconds. So those are the special racial abilities that will be given to the Blood Elves. The Draeni, they will have a passive racial ability of Gem Cutting, which will give them an increase of 15 skill in the new profession jewel crafting that will be coming out when these new races are introduced. They will also have increased shadow resistance of 10. They will have a heroic presence racial passive ability that increases the chance to hit by 1% for all party members within 30 yards. And then they will have the Blessing of Nauru, which is a 40-yard, 1.5-second cast spell with a 3-minute cooldown that heals the target of 50 damage over 15 seconds. And that is at level 1. And so those are the racial abilities that the elves and the Blood Elves and the Draeni are going to have. And they were announced this week, actually probably announced at E3, but put on the forums this week anyway. A bit of news also on the forums, and this is kind of guild news as well as Blizzard news. We have now been added to the Alliance Guilds on the server forum, and it lists there Crystal Storm and Dark Rain and Steel Wind and Steel Blade and myself, Quinzit, as context for the guild. It lists our website there, and they got it right, and talks about the fact that we use Ventrilo and that we're relatively at 400 members and that we're still recruiting. And it gives this description of the guild, quote, "We are looking for people that are willing to quest together, work together, become an online team for in-game content. The GM of Angels has been a GM for 15 months on Shadowsong server, and most of our core has multiple level 60s. We are re-rolling here due to the lag and server issues on Shadowsong," end quote. So we are listed now in the list that is provided there of guilds, and just coincidentally, you know, all of the other major guilds are listed there as well, along with their websites, and that is updated regularly. Let's see, the last update was on the 27th, which was 3 days ago, and so that's updated regularly, and so we can, you know, you can look at some of our sister guilds and get an idea of them and that sort of thing. So that's a lot of news, I realize, but there we are, 19 minutes into a usually 30-minute program, and that's how long it takes to relay all the news. So let's move on and to our feature today. I want to talk about leveling and just give you a brief leveling guide. and some of the places that you can level and some of the interesting things at each level. And, you know, I play the game, you know, because I enjoy it. I do level fast, but that's primarily because I have so much time to play compared to a lot of other people. You know, the real point of the game is to enjoy the game. Do what you enjoy. You know, some people are just demon levelers. I mean, they love to level, and that's just their ultimate aim. While other people, you know, are more leisurely. They like to level up a lot of characters at one time, and we have several people in the guild like that. And you know, some people are kind of a mixture of both. I put myself in that category. You know, I enjoy leveling, but I don't enjoy leveling a lot of characters. I'm kind of an in-game content kind of guy, focused guy, but I do enjoy the process of getting up, and so I'm likely to only create 3 or at most 4 characters, but you know, to each his own. You know, having said that, I do, you know, have a lot of mules on my characters and stuff like that, and of course I play 2 accounts, so that gives me a lot of mules to work with and stuff like that. So anyway, everybody has a little bit different goals, but a part of the process, whatever your goals are, is this idea of leveling, and I want to talk about that today. And specifically, I want to talk about where are the best places to level, you know, at each level. And let me talk about this. First of all, from levels 1 through 20, of course, you start off in your newbie zone. I personally leave the newbie zones around 6 or 7. Some people stay, I'm told, as long as 11. How they do that, I don't know, but I guess they grind or something of that nature. But generally, I'm out of the newbie zone by 6 and into the next areas. Of course, the primary focus here are the 3 starting areas. You know, you have each the human and the elf and the dwarf and the gnome. You know, you have these 3 primary starting areas, and when you finish the quest in yours, you know, go to one of the other starting areas if you're not ready to cross over into the, you know, the next step up. But somewhere around level 12, you should be out of the introduction zone and out of the kind of newbie zone that's next to the introduction zone. And somewhere around level 12 to 20, you take the next step. Generally, for the humans, that's Westfall. For the dwarves, that's Loch Bodan. For the elves, that's Darkshore. But here especially, there is plenty of room and good reason to do your quest in each section and then to go over to the other section. I say there's good reason. First of all, if you enjoy questing, and I do, if you enjoy questing, then, you know, you can do all of the quests in each of the different zones. Second of all, by doing this, a lot of faction is wrapped up in these levels 12 through 20 at these you know, first step zones. Westfall, Loch Bodan, and Darkshore. And so you can really help your faction a lot. You can do a lot of quests. There's plenty of quests to keep you occupied till 20 if you do all 3 of these zones without having to do any grinding at all. There's one elite area, and that is the Mogrash Mound in Loch Bodan, and there's one primary instance, the Dead Mines. Now, there's kind of a secondary instance in Ashenvale, Black Phantom Depths, I think it's called. From 12 to 20, those are your basic areas. And that is, to me, one of the most enjoyable part of the games. I tell you, I love that process and going and visiting each of those zones. I think it is very, very essential, though, that you, if you're not a human, if you're a dwarf or an elf, or a gnome, who's a gnome? Anyway, it is essential to do the Westfall area. And the reason for that being the Dead Mines instance. And so let's say you're a dwarf and you're doing Lakmota and you're not interested in going to Darkshore. Okay, fine. But it is essential to do that Westfall area so that you can get all of the quests that are connected to the Dead Mines. And there's very nice pieces given for each class by completing the Van Cleef quest, and there's some very nice blues that will serve you well until your mid to late 30s, even, that are dropped in that Dead Mines. And so for the the leather wearers, there's the Defias armor. For the cloth wearers, and I'm just speaking from personal experience here with the people I've leveled up, there's nice blues in those Dead Mines. So Westfall is an essential, no matter what race you are. If you're going to do quest, Westfall is an essential. Now, my recommendation, if you're a grinder and not a quest person, Darkshore is the place to grind during these areas. Darkshore seems to me to have a greater variety of creatures and space properly for the individual grinder, and Darkshore is the place to grind levels 12 to 20. The next section, levels 20 to 22, is when you hop into Red Ridge Mountains, Lakeshire, do the Tower of Azor and Elwyn. And really, again, Red Ridge is just full of quests. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to quest through levels 20 through 22 and enjoy that section. Then, from levels 22 to 30, there are higher-level quests in Redwood Mountains. And boy, you really open up a lot of things here. You've got Red Ridge Mountains with Lakeshire. You've got Duskwood. There's a few quests that you can do in Duskwood during this time, and actually a whole lot of them. The Wetlands, very important area, the Wetlands. Some very important quests in the Wetlands for the different classes, and some very... there's a good elite section there, the Dun Mordor Dark Iron Dwarves section there, with an elite boss that is a good experience, lots of quests connected with it. Ashenvale with quest in Ashlanar, good for elves, for elf faction. Ashenvale is a good area for that. Stonetallen Mountain, quite frankly, I didn't do a lot in Stonetallen Mountains, but Stonetallen Mountains, according to what I've read on the internet, has some good quests. About the only thing I did was, you know, get the quest from Ashenvale to go through all the way through and get the flight path there, and basically come back. But there are some quests there connected with the spiders and with a little mining outfit there, you know, I just didn't have time to do those, but there are quests there. As I mentioned, for the elite areas, there's the Dun Mordor, the Dark Iron Elves, or dwarves rather, and there are three instances in this area: the Stockades, Shadowfang Keep, and the deeper parts of Black Phantom Depth are good during this time as instances. Now, the Stockades, my recommendation on the Stockades is that you get you know, the five quests connected with that, and you go and do all those at one time, and there's not a lot of reason to go back. It's not a great instance. There's not really great drops there. But if you do all five quests and go through that instance once and just clean the house, then it's a great a pool of experience for you. And but beyond that, there's just not much to it. Shadowfang Keep, a great place for casters, especially to get their blue items, and for some of the other classes as well to get some blue items. Again, not a great instance, but it does drop some blue items, and it's an instance that you can farm. I mean, really go through thoroughly several times to pick up what you need. Not a lot to it, really. You can farm it in 30 to 45 minutes, and boom, you're done, and you got some nice atoms. Black Fathom Deep is not very popular from what I've seen. It's crowded. It's very easy to pull a group on you. It has some underwater parts, and for some reason a lot of people don't like the underwater stuff. I particularly enjoy that, but there's a lot of people who don't enjoy that. Black Fathom Deeps is there. That's located in Ashenvale, right up next to Darkshore. In fact, there's a little path in Darkshore that goes right almost right next to it. And so that's an important area there. For grinding, round level 26, you can grind at the Dragon Maw encampment in the wetlands. Also at the excavation site, lots of good raptors to kill there. Good grinding area around 26, 27. At 28, Raven Hill and Rotting Orchard are good places to grind. Around 29, the Ogre Mound in Duskwood, good places to grind. And I tell you something that's really good to grind if you're a skinner is the Worgen. You can grind those dudes, and then there is a section in the back. When you're right around 30, a little over, there's a section in the back that has a little cave, and they just pop. I mean, they come back almost as fast as you can kill them. And if you want to do some good grinding around 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, you know, that's a great area to hop in there, one or two people, and it will keep you busy, and they pop a lot. It's just a great grinding area. So if you like to grind, those are the places to do that. Let's see, I think I said there were five quests for Stockades. There's actually six, if I remember right now, come to think of it. Well, moving on to 31 to 37, there's some early quests you can do in Stranglethorn Vale at this point, at the Rebel Camp, and at Nessingway's Expedition, and down in Booty Bay. However, it really waits to 37 to 43 to complete all those quests. But you can get started in Stranglethorn Vale. There's Hillsbrad Foothills with South Shore. I love the little Murloc quest there, and there's a couple of them. I've always joked about the Murloc quest that not all Murlocs have heads, because, you know, one aspect of the quest sends you out and you collect Murloc heads when you kill them, but only about one in four gives you a head. And Steelblade told me that I was hitting them too hard over the head and ruining their heads, and that was why. So I started aiming for the body, but that didn't improve it. Still only about one in four drop a head. So anyway, that's a great area to quest in. You can get the little back piece off of the little owl bears or whatever they are up north there, or the Yeti rather. And there's some good quests there in that area. Raythe Highlands, there's some you can start there again. That's another place where, you know, it's going to top out a little over 37, and then Stormguard actually is going to be beyond that. But that's a good place. Desolus, important quest in Desolus. It's not a great zone in some ways, but if you're going to do SM, starting around 35-36, Steelblade took me over there yesterday and showed me a very important quest that you need to do, because there's an important weapon drop connected with SM that you have to do this quest for, and that involves the skeletons in that little valley there up in the corner of the zone, and that's really, really important to do. You get the quest on the second floor of the inn at Nigel's Point, and very, very important to do. Also, there are a few quests in Thousand Needles as well, though a lot of people with the Alliance don't go there. The Nomorangan is the primary instance, and I know that's a bad word in the guild, but I let that influence me, and then finally said, well, I need some experience, so I'm just going to hop down there anyway. And I didn't think it was that bad of an instance. It doesn't drop great stuff. At least I didn't see any great stuff drop. But the experience is good. You know, steady battles. If you have a bad group, though, boy, woo, you're in trouble. But if you get a good group, it works out all right. Again, grinding areas around 31, Curzan's encampment at Stranglethorn Vales, great grinding area. The Stranglethorn Raptors beginning at 33 and actually going all the way up close to 40. There are different areas, different levels of raptor throughout Stranglethorn Vale that you can do some grinding on. The Growler's Cave at 33 on Alterac Mountain. The Crush Ridge Ogres in Alterac Mountains around 34. The Witherbark Village. I love that Witherbark Village in the Racing Mountains. That cave is tough if you try to do it by yourself. If you get one or two to work with you in that cave, it is a grinder's paradise in the Witherbark Village. The Venture Company around 36 in Stranglethorn Vale, another good grinding area. Bad thing about Stranglethorn Vale is the little page quest. In fact, I just gave up on it. It just took too much space in my bags. I did notice, though, that most of the pages, if you want to, just purchase those things off the auction house and be done with it. Might be the easy way to go on that. They sell for about 6 silver each, and easy way to get that out of the way and empty your bags at the same time. Moving on to levels 37 to 43, and boy, the program's gone to 36 minutes. I apologize, but looking at levels 37 to 43, and that's where we're going to end today because that's about where the guild is. There's a lot more quests in Stranglethorn Vale, moving up a little bit in level. The higher aspects of the hunter quest are available at this level. In Arathi Mountains, Refuge Point and Faldir's Cove is available, and I'm really looking forward to Faldir's Cove. I haven't actually done that yet myself, but my rogue swam over there the other day and stealthed it out and picked up a couple of quests he's holding in reserve for when he gets around 40, 41. And there's also the Badlands. I haven't been there yet. I'm starting to venture now into territory I hadn't been in, but from what I've read on the internet, the Badlands is a good place. Desolus, there's some level 37 quest in Desolus. There are lead areas, Stormguard. I'm really looking forward to Stormguard. I'm just now hit 37, and I've been to Stormguard once. I was a little bit too low level. I think I was 35 when I went with a group, and we just had a tough time, and I decided to wait and come back. So, I don't know, I'm 37 now. When I hit 38 or so on the Rogue, I'm going to try Stormguard again. There's also three instances. There's Scarlet Monastery, Alderman, and I think you need to be up around 42, 43 for that, and Razor Fin Downs. And so those are the instances. Grinding areas, again, in Stranglethorn Vale, there's just raptors for almost every level there, and the Lashtail Raptor is around 37. There's some water elementals on a little island in Stranglethorn Vale around 37 again. At 39, the Spider's Cave north of Brackenwall in the Dustwallow Marshes. 39, again, rock elementals in the Badland. Those are some of the best places to do some grinding during that time. Well, that takes us up to around level 43. I'm actually at 37 now, so, you know, I'm just doing research on that. I'm not going to bore you by going any higher. When we get the guild a little bit higher, we'll return to this subject and talk about some of the best places to go during those times. Briefly, by way of review, do those introductory quests, real important for faction. Visit all three of the first step zones, Darkshore, Westfall, especially Lochmoda. Visit those, build up your faction, Redwood Mountains at 20 to 22, or Red Ridge Mountains rather, 20 to 22, Duskwood 22 to 30, Wetlands 22 to 30, 31 to 37, Stranglethorn, just begin your quest there, Hillsbrad, Foothills, South Shore area, Raythe Highlands, Desolus at 31 to 37. Just briefly, those are your primary zones, your primary quest, and your primary areas. Well, I've bored you long enough today. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Hopefully the maintenance won't go on forever today, and we'll see you online. Hey, be careful out there, and have fun.